Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 12. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be talking about how glorifying Jesus in our marriage through care, pursuit, and putting Jesus first is how the Lord will enable us to not only invest in our spouses, but to experience God's blessing in our marriages. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, with a message entitled, Jesus' Heart for Your Marriage.
Well, good morning, second service. It is good to be with you this morning. If you have a Bible, you could turn it open to Matthew's Gospel. We are in chapter 19, and God willing, we'll handle these first 12 verses of this chapter. I'm calling this message this morning, Jesus' Heart for Your Marriage. And I know as soon as maybe some of you see that title, you hear the word marriage, you think probably, oh no, you know, he's gonna do a sermon on marriage. Let me just preface the message this morning by saying this. Let me say a couple of things. The first thing I want to say is this: if you're new here, if you're visiting today, I do not do topicals ordinarily. I don't have a curriculum that I move through and select what I want to preach and what I don't preach. I move through God's Word in its entirety. And if you're here today to hear a message on marriage, it's because God wants you to. I didn't know you were coming. I didn't plan this sermon for you. Your spouse did not call me ahead of time. That's the God's honest truth. He has allowed you to be here on this Sunday morning to hear this specific message. But I want to say this. I understand to a degree what I'm dealing with. Years ago, close to 20 years ago, in our old building, some of you might have been there before, you might be familiar with it. It used to be the old Atlas Fitness Center. Prior to that, it was a school building, Trowbridge, on Lyle over there in Spencerport. I was an usher in the back of the sanctuary. My dad was the pastor. He was preaching. He was doing a sermon on marriage, moving through God's Word, just like we do today. And I was in the back at the rear of the sanctuary. The difference was, though, we had swing doors, only one set of them, and they weren't right in the back. They were off to the right, so in the back right corner is where they would be. And the head usher, one of the elders at the time, he came over to me, just a young guy, you know, in my early teens, and he said, do you mind if I go and sit with my wife since, you know, your dad's doing a message on marriage? Would it be okay if you just stand here and man the post? So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, go be seated. So he goes and he sits down, and my dad gets going, and he's preaching on marriage. And, you know, he's just saying things that to me were just biblical truths. And, you know, he's just laying it out there graciously and tenderly. But because it's such a sensitive subject, this man gets up close to 7 feet tall, honestly, probably upward of close to 300 pounds. He gets up, he throws his Carhartt with one finger over his shoulder. And at the time we had movie theater chairs. They were awesome. The chair, the seat starts to kind of, you know, pity patter back and forth as it flings up. And there were some empty rows in the back, and he begins to walk over the rows, and he comes directly toward me, and I was like Kevin on Home Alone, you know, where he just, oh no, you know, and I just got out of the way, and he just flung those doors open, and out he went. Later, he came back and apologized, but he was going through a divorce, and the message was just tough for him. It was a very tender season of his life, and so on that note, Mike, be careful this morning would be the first. I'm in the front today, not in the back, thank God. But the second thing I would say to you is this, is that since then, that memory is etched in my brain. I try to always walk very gently around broken hearts. And I understand that this will be a message for some of you that you might not want to hear at the onset. Please do me a favor. You're here already anyways. Half the service is over. Please just hear what Jesus has to say toward this topic as we move through his word today. Allow him to just speak to your heart. There's no condemnation if you are here today and you've been divorced. And I'm going to say this through the message. It's not the unpardonable sin. Jesus is not mad at you. There's forgiveness. There's healing. There's grace. Grace abounds where sin abounds. God is so loving and kind. So please give me your ear. If you're single here today and you think, oh, great, marriage, you know, also, please give me your ear because these will be tidbits for you, golden nuggets for you to store away for when Jesus does bring that person into your life. Okay? Is that fair? Great. Let's open our Bibles, if you haven't done so already, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Let's move through these verses. I'm calling again this message, Jesus' Heart for Your Marriage. And it says this in verse 1 of Matthew 19. It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and he came into the coast of Judea beyond the Jordan. And it says in verse 2, and again, this is insightful for what's coming. It says that great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. That's telling of Jesus. It helps to build context of the words that are going to come from his mouth. He was a kind, approachable, humble man. So much so that multitudes, everywhere he went, thronged him. People don't throng individuals that are pious and arrogant, pompous, unapproachable. Jesus was not that way. People are coming to him out of the woodworks everywhere. They're coming to him. They're thronging themselves around him. He's touching them. He's interacting with them. He's healing them. He was known as, in his day, the friend of sinners. An amazingly kind and gentle God. People are coming to him. They're approaching him. And among the company of these multitudes, there are Pharisees. And remember, as you read the Bible, the Pharisees are no fair, you see. They're the religious leaders of the day. They were opposite of Jesus. They were students of the Word of God, but they abused the Word of God. They misinterpreted the Word of God. They added to the Word of God. They made the Word of God impossible to obey. These people now, these men, they come along with the multitudes. They come to Jesus, and they came tempting him or to test him. And they say unto him, this is their test. They say in verse 3, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, they're clever in their inquisition here. They know what they're doing. They're trying to sow discord among the followers of Christ. You see, half the land of Israel at this time was divided on this issue. There were two main rabbis of the day, Hillel and Shammai. And one was ultra-conservative, one which was ultra-liberal. And half the land followed the one where it was a loose interpretation of Scripture. You could put away your spouse for anything. Not women with their men, but men with their women, their wives. In the days of Christ, wives, women could not do these things. They did not have those rights among many others. But for the men, they could put away their wife for anything. You burned my meal. I don't like the way that you're aging. I don't like the way that you just talk to me. I don't like the way that you just handle that situation with the children. I'm done with you. They could put away their wife or whatever they wanted to. In fact, it wasn't even considered adultery if a Jewish male had sex with a woman that was not Jewish. What constituted adultery in their thinking was a Jewish man with a Jewish woman. So you can see how ridiculous that perspective would be. And then there was, on the other spectrum, the followers of Shammai, who were conservative in their thinking. The interpretation of Scripture was this, that if there's sexual uncleanness, and only if there's sexual uncleanness in the marriage, there was fooling around with another man on the woman's end, then and then only can the man put away his wife. So the Pharisees come not in sincerity. The Pharisees come knowing that this is a majorly controversial issue, and they bring that to the attention of Jesus, not because they care what he has to say, but they want to cause problems. They think that they got Jesus hanging on the horns of a dilemma. Now he's in trouble, because either thing that he says here in his interpretation of Scripture, he's going to lose half of his following. Everybody with me? So that's why they come and they ask this question. Is it lawful? Is this something that we can do? Can we put away our wives for whatever reason that we want to? And Jesus here does something magnificent. Listen, if you're a friend of somebody right now that's a Christian and they're on the brink of divorce, if you're a counselor in any capacity, you should follow the lead and example of Jesus. Instead of talking about divorce, he raises the levy, he raises the bar, he takes his inquisitors, he takes them to higher ground, and he brings it to marriage. He's brilliant here in what he does. He takes a conversation that they wanted to be had on divorce, and he turns the matter into marriage. That's where we always should start. God's design, his intent on marriage, and then we can talk about divorce. But let's go here first. Let's talk about what God intended, what God meant when he brought you together with your spouse. So Jesus answers in verse 4, and he doesn't really answer their question. He said to them, and I love that he says this, he says, have you not read? I mean, these are guys that of course have read. These are the experts. Have you not read that he which made them creation, Jesus reinforces it, he that made them at the beginning, before the law, before Moses, before sin, in the golden age, in paradise, in perfection, he that made them in the beginning made them, and this is probably insightful for some people, both male and female. That's it. Just male and female. That is how God made human beings. Male and female in the beginning, this was God's intention. And he said when he made a man and he made a woman, he said in verse 5, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." This is God's institution. It's the only institution that we have from paradise. The only thing that we have that carries over from the Garden of Eden, from the Golden Age. So if it's God's institution, if it's God's idea, then we play by God's rules. God has much to say, and he should, to our hearts about this matter, about this union that he developed in his thinking, in his perfect plans and purposes. In the beginning, Jesus says, forget about what things have devolved into. But in the beginning, in my perfect will, in the original concept of marriage, this is how I drew it up. That there would be one man, one woman, together forever. That they would leave their father and their mother and cleave, adhere, stick to, be glued to their wife. Forevermore. And I read things like this and I think, and why wouldn't a man want to do that? This is not some like deep theological point. I'm being serious with you right now. Why wouldn't you want to leave your mom and your dad and go to your wife? Listen, I love my mom. I love my dad. I've been married for almost 13 years. Me and Sean have been together for 16 years. And when it was time for me to move out of my parents' house and to move into a house with her, I was stoked out of my mind. I watched Yankee games with my dad every night, ate ice cream with him, loved to laugh with my dad. My mom was a dynamic cook and just mother to me, great counsel she provided for me. But Sean, are you kidding me? Would I rather be there with them every night or with my wife? I mean, that's a no-brainer to leave that and cleave to her. I get to watch Yankee games with her, eat her food, and do a bunch of other things that are amazing. It's like having your mom, your dad, and then the most beautiful person in the world to be with every single day. It's amazing. Why wouldn't you? And some people struggle with this, though. That was God's design. A man leaves his father and his mother, and he cleaves to his wife. And then Jesus says this. He's quoting Genesis 2 here. And the two, shall become one flesh. That's the most common phrase used in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation of marriage. One flesh. Then he says it again, wherefore they are no more two, verse 6, in case you missed it, but they are one flesh. And what God has joined together, don't let anybody tear asunder. So they say to him in verse 7, okay, Jesus, you don't want to answer our question. We're going to get clever with you now, because they believed in the word of God, but Moses was supreme. Moses was supreme in their thinking, so now they're going to go to Moses. They say to him in verse 7, then why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement to put your wife away? Quoting Deuteronomy 24. Listen, Moses didn't command, Moses consented to the will of the people. Watch what Jesus said. He said in verse 8 in response to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, don't miss that phrase. Don't miss that phrase, because of the hardness of your heart, he says, in verse 8, offer you to put away your wife out from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, in verse 9, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoso marrieth her is put away, does also commit adultery. So his disciples, verse 10, say maybe what some of you are thinking today. Why even get married? This is crazy. I mean, that's essentially what they say. They say, if this be the case of a man with his wife, it is not good to marry. And he says back to them, all men cannot receive that saying, save they to whom it is given. Verse 12, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, they were born in that way. And then there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which had made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. You want to know what I have written in my Bible right after that verse? I can't receive it. I'm serious. I can't receive that. I am so thankful to the Lord for my helpmate. That's what the Bible first describes as the wife's role in Scripture in Genesis chapter 2, as the helpmate to their husband. And some guys get lofty with that. Like, yeah, she's my helpmate. But listen, guys, don't get lofty. Understand what's being said there. You need help is what's being said there. I need help, right? We need help. So God, in his perfect wisdom, he gave us our spouses. These guys come to him. Understand what's going on. They come to him trying to trap Jesus. They want to sow discord. They want to ruffle people's feathers. They want to get people angry. And Jesus is close to the cross. He's getting close to the end of his earthly ministry. They're trying to interrupt, disrupt what God has done thus far. So they ask this question, but Jesus takes opportunity to give explanation to it. And I'm thankful for it. Because we're living in a day and age where divorce is prominent. In this country, the divorce rate is higher than any other place in the world. The strange thing about that, though, is that so is church attendance. So divorce rate, every one out of every 1.8 marriages end in divorce, that's more than 50%, is the highest here than anywhere else, yet the church attendance rate is. Something's not right. In the last century, divorce has risen 700% in this land. Every second and third marriage, 70% end in divorce. So it's an epidemic, if you would, in this country that was founded on God's word. In this state, clearly, we are ultra-liberal. You can easily follow the counsel of the one rabbi there that would allow you to put away your wife for anything. People, they can find any reason they want just to put an end to their marriage. It gets difficult. It gets tough, especially my age and those who are younger. I don't like them anymore. I'm not who I was when I first married them. They're not who they were when I first married them. We've changed. We've fallen out of love. And we've come up with all sorts of reasons as to why we shouldn't make it work. But Jesus here gives perspective. He gives clarity. He gives understanding. And he gives counsel to a matter that is very dear to his heart. And as Christians, if this is important to Jesus, as Christians, it should be of utmost importance to us. Listen, Paul would later say it's a reflection of Christ in the church. We should take this ultra seriously. Lord, is it true? Can I put away my wife for any reason that I want? Jesus says, let's not even talk about divorce. Let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about what it was supposed to be from the get-go in my perfect will. One man, one woman coming together in holy matrimony and becoming one flesh, one body. So I like this, and I've been meditating on these words for the last several of days. And I really like this because the Lord gave me some insight. He calls us to being one flesh, not one soul, not one spirit. Let me break this down for you. He doesn't say, and this will help some of you here today that are under this impression. He doesn't say that you're becoming one soul with your spouse. Soul is the intellect. Soul is the thinking ability. It's your mind. He doesn't say that me and my wife have to have the same mind. That brings great relief. Because I don't know about you married couples that are here today. Can you do me a favor? If you're married, would you just raise your hand for a second? So I'm speaking to predominantly the room right now, right? If you're not married and you want to be married, can you raise your hand for a second? Okay, everybody take a quick look real fast and see. Yeah, it's nice. Got some nice. Just kidding. In my marriage, and I think that you guys that are here married today too, what I've learned through the years with Shauna is that we often don't think the same. We're a lot alike, but we're very different. And I think raising children the last 11 plus years has really magnified that, the way that we discipline, the way that we respond to them. We're not the same, and that's okay. The Bible doesn't call us to be the same. I'll give you another example. Right now it's 11:51. See, she would have said it's 11:50. I said it's 11:51. If you were to tell me that we had to be somewhere at 12 o'clock, let me tell you what that means to both of us. To me, that means that the little hand is going to be on the 12, and the big hand is also going to be on the 12, like right on the 12. And I'm already going to be where you're asking me to be at that time. To her, that means that I'm not even going to look. The little hand's going to be on the 12. And the big hand's going to be on the 12-ish, somewhere around the 12. It's just. Now, I'm going to say this in all fairness. She does way more than I do. She has way more responsibilities. She's the glue in our family. So obviously, I'm being silly. But to some degree, I mean, we are different in the way we interpret time. We're different in the way that we are with people. If you catch my wife at Wegmans, she's an introvert in that scene. She's not going to want to talk to you. Not because she doesn't like you. She's nervous. That's not her realm. If you see me at Wegmans and we're buying meat next to each other, we're going to be there for 2 hours. Because I could talk to anybody about nothing. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I could just go on and on and on. We're very different. We don't have to be the same. We don't have to both like the same colors. We don't have to both like the same foods. We don't have to, you know, both like the same activities. We can have that variation in our relationship and be pleasing to the Lord. We're not called to be one soul. In fact, I think that Jesus gives you your helpmate to balance you out and what you don't have. You're called to love your wife, but you're called to love something of a different kind, literally, in its origin. God made man out of the ground. This is so incredible. He just gave me this. God made man out of the ground. Out of the dust of the earth, he formed man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Genesis chapter 2. He made Eve his woman, his wife from his side. Their origin is completely different in essence. So, God gave you another kind to love and to learn from and to mold you and to shape you in areas that you got to grow. He gave you that person to grow you. So we're not called to be one soul. And we're also not called to be one spirit. Your spirit is what's eternal within you. It's what moves out of the body, the shell, when you take your last breath in this life, and it moves on into glory if you're in Christ today forevermore. And marriage ceases in glory. We're as the angels of heaven. Shauna's still going to be mine in heaven, but for everybody else, it ceases. We're like the angels now. We're not given in marriage anymore. Listen, the scripture calls us to be of one flesh. It's almost as though, please stay with me, it's almost as though Jesus wants us to reenact what he did at that first marriage in Genesis 2 and honor the same principle as if we, like Adam said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Whoa, man, look at this woman. That's what he wants from us, to become one. That's what Jesus calls us to. Yes, physically.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.